I really appreciate that kind applause. Makes me feel like I'm down in South America. They do that in Central and South America when you have your crusades. You can be seated. But it's a real privilege to be here, feel the wonderful presence of God as we felt today. Felt the presence of the Lord all during the day. And of course, we felt the presence of the devil too. Have you ever felt the presence of the devil? I felt the presence of the devil today, trying to talk to the Lord about the services and trying to get the Lord to smile on us while we're here and heal the people. Satan also came. The Bible tells us that when the sons and daughters of God came to present themselves before God, that Satan came also. And even in the services at night, I mean, when we get together, the sons and daughters of God, they come to present themselves before God, and those in whom that Satan lives, they also come. People also come that are children of Lucifer, taken with the evils of this world. They have to come and give an account to God as well as the sons and daughters of the Lord. But then, of course, there comes those that are just sinners. They're coming. They really don't know anything about anything. They just come to see what it's all about, or they come. The Lord draws them, and many times they're converted to Christ because they do come. The Bible said, surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And these come, of course, to hear the word of the Lord. The Lord blessed us in our service last night. We had a wonderful anointing here. The anointing was very free, and the Lord blessed. Now, in these services, as I said last night, we're expecting God to bless the people. We're expecting God to save the people, and we're expecting God to heal the people. The Lord told me, I believe it was either the first or second day that I was here, He said, I'm going to heal people in this meeting. And I said, well, praise God. That means that folks here are going to receive the gospel. Because God cannot heal without faith. And if God just outright says He's going to heal in a meeting, that means that there's somebody that's going to attend that meeting, is going to have faith in God, and is going to listen to the word of the Lord. So then God just outright said, I'm going to heal in this Carolina meeting. And I said, all right, that suits me. I just praise God for it. And we're trying to talk to God and make ourselves available in the sense that God might be able to use us as an instrument of communication with those that He wants to talk to or those that He wants to heal. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It is so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, you can believe that Satan has fought this meeting. I mean, he has fought this meeting. From the very time that we set our face to come to the Carolinas, he fought this meeting. He hasn't ceased to fight it. He has done everything he could, from causing problems with the weather, to cause problems with the tent, to cause problems with the musical instrument, to cause problems with everybody and everything. But in spite of all of that, God still has been gracious. He still blessed us. He still stood with us. Paul said, on one occasion, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. And of course, if you go to do anything for Christ, then you can be assured that Satan, the first thing he's going to do is hinder you or try to stop you from doing something for God. Now, if you don't do anything for God and you just go your own way and, as the world says, do your own thing, then you won't have any problems in the sense of Satan hindering you. Because the Bible teaches that the world loveth its own. And if you're of the world and part of the system of the world and you're joining in with the things of the world, then of course Lucifer isn't going to bother you because he is the prince of this world. And he hath control of the things of this world. And all of those that go along with him or work with his way and that are interested in the tangible side of life or the materialistic values of life, then he isn't going to hinder them because he's going to buddy with them and work with them right down the line. But just as sure as you cross him up and you start talking about God and holy things and righteous living and establishing the kingdom of God here in this world and trying to bring righteousness into this world, then you're going to run into a problem. The devil is going to fight you. I mean, he's really going to fight you. But I thank God for one thing, and that is that we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ that gave himself for us and that he loved us so much. I thank God that no matter what our problem is, that He's always with us and He helps us to always triumph over Lucifer. As the Bible teaches that God will heal all of our sicknesses, He is the God that healeth thee. And the Bible said, though the many are the afflictions of the righteous, yet God delivereth him out of them all. And the Lord being with us, it doesn't matter what happens to us, we always have the victory through Christ Jesus our Savior. So let me say tonight that I'm very grateful to have you here with us. I appreciate you coming out to be with us under the tent. And from night to night, we're planning to talk to you about the wonderful words of God. You know, one thing that we really need to consider about the Word of the Lord, most people, even religious people as a whole, they don't realize the value of the Word of God. Because of this, it's kind of like the song that was written years ago, Dust on the Bible. You find the Bible laying around. It's not used a whole lot in some homes. And it's covered over with the dust, or you have to look underneath everything that's piled on top to be able to locate the Bible. But that's because the people doesn't realize the value of the Bible. And they don't realize the value of the Word of God. Their evaluation is improper. They place the greater emphasis on things of less value. And because of that, they don't understand. But when a person really comes to understand God, the greatness of God, and they get the fear of God, and they begin to understand the Bible and what the Bible is all about, then they treasure the Word of God, and they begin to search out the Word of God, and they begin to read and study the Word of God, because they know that it is not just a printed page, it is not somebody's theory or somebody's idea, but it is the infallible Word of truth and the words that Jesus referred to as the words of life. It is a living book. It is a living Word, and it is the only Word that can bring life. So then tonight, let's read just a little bit concerning this wonderful Word of the Lord. Now, first of all, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that's found in Titus in the second chapter. In the second chapter of the book of Titus, the first verse, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, nor purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Chapter 3, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You know, to know these things and to do these things is to develop faith. The church today seems almost faithless. It looks like that they don't have any faith in God, and they're drifting farther and farther away from the goals of salvation and the goals of Christian living. It seems that under the pressures of today, in as much as they are pressured on every side, it looks like that they're growing cold in the things of God. The Bible teaches, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And it appears that because so many things are upon the Christians, that they're pressed with necessity in such a great way that they are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And they're yielding more and more to the opposition rather than fortifying themselves in Christ and rising up against it. It seems like they're being swayed more and more and more toward the things that are materialistic rather than toward the things that are spiritual. They're becoming more interested in the consolations of life. They're becoming more interested in the materialistic values of life. They want the convenience of life. And they are looking more to the educational side of life than to the side of faith. And they're developing themselves more and more into things that tend to offer a career in life rather than developing themselves into things that offer faith toward God and stability toward the kingdom of God. And it appears that they just have taken everything for granted with God, in the sense that they feel, well, you know, if God's going to save us, so well, and if he doesn't, well, it's nothing we can do about it. But I can assure you that it's not like that at all. There is plenty that we can do about it, and that's why the Bible tells us to save ourselves from this underworld generation. That is, we are to save ourselves from this underworld generation. We are to get up like the leopards that sat at the gate, who was dying with leprosy. We're to get up, and we're to start toward that which can revive us or that which can save us. We are to get up out of the condition that we found ourselves in of worldliness and carefree thinking. We're to get up from those things, and we're to resist the things that are carnal and those things that are natural, and go toward God. Now, I believe in the natural things of life. God made all things. He made the natural things. He made the carnal things. And I'm one of the first to say that there's nothing wrong with you having carnal things. Paul tells us in his writings, and the different ones speaking of it, they said, you know, it's not wrong for you to have the carnal things, for God hath made them. Paul even went to the extent that he said, I would also that I have some of the carnal things that you have. He said, if I have sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of your carnal? If others be partakers of these things, aren't we the more? So he said, there's nothing wrong with you having carnal things. If you have an automobile, there's nothing wrong with it. If you have a home, there's nothing wrong with it. You need transportation. You need shelter. If you have clothing, there's nothing wrong with it. Though all these things are carnal, yet there is nothing wrong with these things for you to have these things. If you have houses, you have land. If you have loved ones, there's nothing wrong with this. If you have a job, there's nothing wrong with this. If you take on responsibility, there is nothing wrong with this. Though all of that is carnal, yet there is nothing wrong with it, because God has given it to you. And then the Bible also tells us that a wise man's substance is precious in his sight. If you have an automobile, you don't just let it go to the four winds, as we say, but you try to take care of your automobile and you try to keep it in good shape. If you do that, if you look after the things that God has entrusted to your care, God considers you to be a wise steward and a wise person. So then a wise man will look after the things that God has entrusted to his care. But on the other hand, there is one thing that God demands of us, and that is, though we have ever so much riches in this world, though we have ever so many things in this world, God says that at no time can you and I be carnally minded. We are to never have our minds on automobiles. We are to never have our minds on houses and lands. We are to never have our minds on the responsibilities of this world. We are to have our minds on God, not just a little while or a little time out of the day, but we're to have our minds on God around the clock with regularity. As the Bible says, we must meditate in the things of God day and night. Day and night I must have my mind on God. I must cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I must bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. I must meditate continually in the things of God. And I must grow more and more in God. And I must keep my mind on God. And I must love God with all of my heart and with all of my mind and with all of my strength. I must do this because God is a jealous God and God requires it of me. Now, if I seek the kingdom of God, the Bible said that all of the things that I desire will be added unto me. If I seek first the kingdom of God, I mustn't go after automobiles first. I mustn't go after land and houses first. I mustn't go after the things of this life first. I must seek God first. God is a jealous God and God wants us to seek Him first. He demands our attention first of all. And if I give my mind to God without reservation of heart, if I give my strength to God, all that I am, if I give it to God, if I go after God with all of my life and with all of my heart and with all of my mind, then God will see to it that I am not lacking in the financial side of life. God will bless me with the things that I so desire in this life. Whatever I desire in this life, God will give it to me. I don't have to bother to try to obtain it. All I do is seek God. All I do is follow God. All I do is honor God. All I do is love God and develop my life toward God. And I think of Christ in the morning, and I think of Christ at the noontime, and I think of Christ in the evening time. And I do like Daniel that prayed 3 times a day. I pray in the morning, I pray at the noon, I pray in the evening. Or I do like David of old that says, I seek God 7 times a day. I go to God 7 times a day talking to God to ask God to be with me and ask God to bless me and ask God to direct me. Thus God gave David the entire nation. God gave David the throne. God gave David everything that his heart could wish for because he went to God and he sought God and he looked to God. You know, I put God to the test in my lifetime and I found out that God will keep His word. God will do exactly what He tells you He will do. Everything in the Word of God, God will keep. He will keep His word. The Bible teaches His word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish that He pleases. It will prosper in that whereunto He sent it. So then His word is infallible. His word is the word of life. His word is spirit. His word is the thing that we need to get a hold of. We need to meditate in this word. We need to think about the word of God and the laws of God. All day long we need to think about the word of God. If you need salvation, you need to think about God's word. If you need prosperity, you need to think about God's word. If you need healing, then you need to think about God's word. The Bible said that God sent His word and healed them. It is God's word that the minister speaks of when he tells you about the wonderful ways of God. It is God's word that he speaks of that brings you healing. For as you hear the word of God, then you believe and the word becomes spirit. The great earthquakes that are taking place in this very day that we're living in said, when you see these things come to pass, spoke of a number of other things. He said, this is the beginning of sorrows. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. And so then when we look around us and we see these things today, it's the beginning of sorrows. Already we've entered into sorrows. I said last night there are mothers and dads, they have daughters, they have sons that's drifted away from home, and they go away from home and they stay for years and they can't get in touch with them, they can't hear from them. Sorrows and heartaches. Sons and daughters going to prison. Many of them being killed in wrecks along the highway. It's a horrible time. It's the beginning of sorrows. There is much sorrow in the world today. There is sorrow all over the land. It's not just here in America. We preach here in America and we run into hundreds of thousands of people. Their hearts are filled with sorrow. But we go into India. We've just come back from an India crusade and over there we find great sorrow. We go into the land of Israel and over in the land of Israel where Jesus was crucified. The place that you ordinarily would think would be that they would have a lot of peace. We've talked to them and they've told us, they say, Brother Pike, there is no peace for Israel. And we go down into South America. We go into the islands. We go into Europe. And wherever we go, we find there is no peace. There is nothing but sorrow. It is the beginning of sorrow. Great sorrow is covering the people. Great sorrow is sweeping across the land. And the reason for this is because we are getting farther and farther away from God. We are drifting more and more from God. You know, a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm holding my own. I'm staying right where I was. But you can't do that. See, knowledge is increasing every day. And the more that you know, then the more God requires. The more God requires, if you don't move up, then that means that you're that much farther away from God. God is moving off, leaving you all the time, because He commands us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We are to grow in the grace of God, and we are to grow in the knowledge of God. And the Bible said we are to go on to be perfect before God. We are to go on perfecting our lives before God, that we might perfect our faith in God, that we might have the blessings of God that we really need. So then it is the beginning of sorrows. And as I said, the reason is because we're getting farther and farther away from God. This is the hour when you and I need to stand up for God. We need to be a light for God. We need to do, as I said last night, like Daniel and the Hebrew children. We need to persevere and stand out for Christ and say, I love the Lord, and I'm not going to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. I gave the little example last night of the man that kept cutting off his cross. And finally, when he got down to Jordan in the vision that he was having, he found out his cross was too short for him to get across the Jordan. And what we need to do is quit. We need to stop trying to trim things up. We need to stop trying to fit the world into our program. And we need to just disfellowship the world and get away from the world. Take the Bible, take God's Word, and find out what God's Word says about it. If God's Word says it's right, then incorporate it in our life. If God's Word doesn't say it's right, then lay it aside. Don't have any fellowship with it. Don't try to twist it around and make it fit, or twist our lives around and make our lives fit the Word of God. Let's don't do that. Let's get away from the things of the world. The world isn't going to love you, but let's get away from the world. Now, if I ask you the question tonight, how many of you want to perish with the world? You say, I love the world, Brother Pike. I love the things of the world. I want these things. But on the other hand, if I say to you, how many of y'all that are sitting out there tonight, how many of you would like to perish with the world? How many would love to pay the price that the world is going to have to pay? How many of you love to just fade away with the world? Then, of course, you'd have a different opinion altogether, wouldn't you? You'd feel different about the thing altogether. You'd say, no, Brother Pike, if the world is going to burn up, I don't want to be a part of that. But now if the world is going to have a good time, I want to be a part of that. But I want to remind you, the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not there. Now let's face it now tonight. If the love of these natural things, if your heart is filled and bubbling with the enthusiasm of natural things, and if your heart is set upon the natural side of life, if you love the natural things of the world, the carnal things that I spoke of, if you love these things, then the Bible said that God's love is not in your heart. The love of God is not in your heart. If you love these tangible things and these natural things, then the love of God is not in your heart. Let's face it. Is that right? Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I can't have these things? If you recall just a few minutes ago, I said that God would give you these carnal things. I said that God would add unto you the desires of your heart. I said that God would give you houses, and God would give you automobiles, and God would give you land. But I said God would not let you have any of this on your mind in the sense of being carnally minded or worldly minded. For God is a jealous God. He did not make the world for you to love. He did not make the things for you to love, because there is no life in the things of this world. There is no life in this world or in the things of this world. God is the only source of life. God is the spirit of life. God is the only life there is. And without life, what good is the world? Without life, what good is an automobile? Without life, what good is there to anything in this world? If you don't have life, what can you do with an automobile? What can a dead man do with an automobile? What can a person do with a beautiful home and furniture and whatever? If they're dead, what good is that to a dead person? See, so the first thing we've got to pursue is life. The first thing we want to get a hold of is life. And then when we get life, we can enjoy all the tangible side of life. See, Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. I want you to have life. I'm the Prince of Life. He said the devil doesn't come for that purpose. He said the devil loves the world. He loves the things that are in the world. He's after the things of the world. And he wants to put the love of the world in your heart. But God said he's a thief and he's a robber. Nothing in this world really belongs to him. He stole it away from God's creation. There is nothing in this world that belongs to him. I've given him not anything. But what he's got, he has stolen it. He has robbed my creation of it. And I give to you life, and I give to you health. I give to you wife, husband, I give to you children. I give to you abundant blessings of life. But then when you let Lucifer in, he steals the little baby out of your arm and he takes its life. He steals your sanity and he takes your mind. He takes away your peace. He steals your peace. He takes away your automobile. He takes away your house. He takes away your land. He pulls you before the magistrates of the world and they accuse you. And the good name of your Savior that gave these things to you. The devil is a thief and he is a robber. But Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I'm the Prince of Peace. I come. I'm the Word of Life. I come to you that you might have life and have it more abundant. I am the one, Jesus said, that made all of these things for you. I'm the one that made you, and you're my creature. You're the sheep of my pasture. And I made you, and I gave you life. And I've brought you forth, and I gave you this wonderful world around you. I made the appetite, and then I made a luscious fruit to satisfy the appetite. I created the passions of the body, and then I gave you the union and fellowship with one another, that it might be satisfied according to the ordinances of righteousness. I gave you the little child. I gave you all that your heart could wish for. I gave you the rain. I gave you the sunshine. I gave you the breeze that blows gently through the trees. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the one that gave you your life. I am the one that come to heal you. I am the one that died for you and spilt my blood for you. I'm the one that gave you all of these things. Why then, beloved friend, if this is true, why do we then go whoring after the world? Why is it then that we love the things of the world, knowing that this is contrary to God, and knowing that we're going to lose these very things that our heart wants so much? Knowing that we're going to lose them, why then we do that? It's because, as Paul said, within my flesh, from my birth, from my natural birth, there is a tendency to do wrong. There is a tendency to think evil. There is a tendency to lust. I have within my natural body from my first birth that tendency to want to be contrary to God. Because within my flesh, Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing. Lucifer has gotten in through the first birth. He's gotten into the bloodstream. He's gotten into the fibers of my very genetics. And because of this, that tendency to rebel against God is there. That tendency to be worldly is there. To love the things of this world. Because Lucifer is the prince of this world. He's cut off from the things of God and he doesn't have anything coming from God. And because of that, he loves the frolics of this life. He loves the monetary values of this life. He loves the lust of this life. He loves the passions of this life. And therefore, he has a parasite living within the body, taking into captivity the mind of humanity. He is literally trampling down the mind of humanity, and he's possessing the reins of the human heart, and he's possessing the minds of the people, and he's taking control of their human senses, and he has become a parasite, and he's feeding himself daily while you as a human being die. And you know what? I don't know whether you've ever paid attention to this or not, but if you'll notice that after a number of years of life, if you don't get in touch with God, if you don't walk with the Lord, all of a sudden it seems like you come to your senses and you think, my, 10 years has gone by and I can't account for it. He says, though I just don't hardly know where it went to. I don't know what happened to it. You know, and you begin to think like this. Something, it seems as though there's been a veil over my mind. It seems as though some kind of cloud has come over my mind. And it looks like something has lived my life and I really didn't live it. I really didn't enjoy it. I don't know what happened to it. And then we begin to think, you know, it's as though something else lived my life and took that 10 years away from me. And then we're stirred a little bit and then after a while we drift back within that dark veil of human intellectual reasoning. And we find ourselves in a tailspin again. And then if we're not careful, it's another few years before we recognize this thing again. But you know, this is what the ministry is for. This is what preaching is for. This is why the tent is in the Carolinas. This is why God sends preachers to your area. This is why men preach over the radio. This is why TV brings to you the Word of God, and printed pages bring to you the Word of God, so that God can constantly remind you, so that they can be a watchman on the wall that's constantly crying out and reminding you that the end of the world is here, and that this evil power is out there to take your mind and to take your attention. And these men are constant reminders. They stay with God all the time, and they talk with God all the time, and they stay in this atmosphere all the time, knowing that you're pressed with necessity and you've got to pay bills and you've got to keep up your pace in life. Then these ministers are ordained to give themselves continually to God, that you may come into their presence, or they may come into your presence, and that they may constantly remind you to bring you back to memory that this evil power of Satan or Lucifer is reaching for your soul, and to remind you constantly of your duties to God and of this great danger that threatens you and your life. So then, it is a true fact that you drift into this condition and you don't know what happened. And I'm satisfied that here tonight there's people that's sitting in this audience that's in the same condition. I'm convinced tonight that you've drifted away from God. And as I said, the church world in general has drifted in such a way until their minds are literally being trampled down by the evil forces of darkness, and they cannot get their bearings in Christ. They have been forced into such a corner trying to survive in this world until they have lost contact with God so far as reality. Now this is sad, isn't it? But did you know the average church member here or across the world? They've lost contact with God so far as real, genuine, spiritual reality. They've lost contact with God. You know, there's a natural world, and then there's a spiritual world. There's a natural man, and there's a spiritual man. And there's a man that's made for this world, and there's a man that's made for that world. See, and the Bible refers to the man that's made for this world as being Esau, who has sold his birthright for the tangible side of life and the materialistic values of life. Having sold his birthright, he doesn't have any right to the other world. And though people may cry, I want you to think on this for just a minute now. A lot of times we get the idea, well, Brother Pike, we can do anything in this life that we want to, and it'll be all right. When we go to God, God's going to hear us. All we've got to do is let God know that we're sorry, and God's good, and God's going to forgive us for it. Now, that's yes and that's no. That's yes. If you go to God when you come to the acknowledgement of wrong and you've never known it before, and you go to God, if you cry, you pray, you call on God, He'll hear you. But after you've known the right way of God, and then you turn away from God, and then you go back out there in the world and you willful transgress the things of God, and God keeps dealing with you, and then you come back, you can cry all you want to, but you'll never get to God. You can beg all you want to, but you'll never get to God. The Bible said after that we've come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. And so then as Esau, the Bible said he sought repentance with bitter tears, but he did not find any place of repentance. He came to God, he prayed to God, he asked God to forgive him. Or that is, he came to get the birthright, but he couldn't get the birthright. The birthright was already gone. And you can keep on in the things of the world and going contrary to God and violating the principles of your conscience until you get past feeling, and nothing won't bother you. It doesn't matter what you do, you won't feel bad. You'll get to where you'll say, you know, I love the Lord, I'm a Christian, and I believe in the Lord, and you'll talk about the Lord, and yet you'll be doing the things of the world all the time. And you'll say, you know, one time I was out there in that Christian walk of life, and they had me under such bondage till I thought I couldn't do this, and I thought I couldn't do that, and I thought I'd go to hell if I'd done this, and I thought I'd go to hell but I don't feel that way anymore. I'm just so happy in God, I'm so free, I just don't worry about anything anymore. As a consequence of that, you don't fast. As a consequence of that, you don't pray. As a consequence of that, you don't live a life of consecration or holiness. As a consequence of that, you don't make any effort to do anything for God, to evangelize the world, or to win souls. And so then in this, you get yourself in a snare, you get out there, you get past feeling, and you feel everything's all right when everything's all wrong. But beloved friend, let me tell you, There is something you must do. There are some things that you must put away. You must, as Paul said, become the prisoner of the Lord and turn away from the things of the world. You must perfect your life in God, because God is going to judge you according to the deeds that you do while you live in this body. You are a spiritual being, and you're dwelling in a little body of clay. You're living in a little fleshly temple. And God is going to judge that inner spiritual being by the things that it does while it tabernacles in this human being. While your spiritual inner man lives in this physical being, he's going to do all kind of things. And at the judgment seat of God, he's going to be rewarded according to the deeds that he does in this body, whether they be good deeds or whether they be bad deeds. And he's going to be rewarded according to the multitude of the good things that he does, so far as the greatness of his reward. It's like the Bible speaks of those that have done evil. He said there's some that's never known the depths of Satan. To them that have never known the depths of Satan, he said, I speak unto you. There is depths of Satan. Once you get caught in that web out there, he can take you down to a place like you've never dreamed of in all of your life. There is the depths of Satan. And he said such and such to them that have never known the depths of Satan. And he said concerning others, and these shall receive the greater damnation, he said. So there is also degrees of punishment, where some is going to be punished a lot worse than others, even in the great punishment of the Almighty God. So then tonight, as I say these few things to you, I'd like for you to think these things over. Now last night I spent what time I spent talking. I spent talking to the people about divine healing and divine deliverance last night. And the Lord impressed me tonight. He wanted me to talk to the people about sincerity and about doctrine. And so tonight I've spoke about these things to you to try to bring your thoughts to a place to where you can comprehend what the Lord wants you to do. Remember, God is a spirit. How many of you know that God is a spirit? God is a spirit. You say, what kind of spirit is he? The Bible defines God as being the spirit of righteousness, or Paul calls it the spirit of holiness. And as I read to you from the Bible here tonight, he said that we are to grow up into the sincere spirit and righteousness of God in holiness. Well, the one thing that God is wanting out of us is godliness, in that God is the spirit of holiness. God is the spirit of life, and there is no life except the spirit of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, because holiness is God, and God is holiness, and God is the spirit of holiness. You know, you hear the Pope refer to himself as the spirit of holiness, and people around the world, they call the Pope the spirit of holiness, or call him his holiness. But you know that's not right. There's only one His Holiness, that is God. God is the great, wonderful His Holiness, and there is no other His Holiness. So then tonight, God is the great, wonderful Spirit, His Holiness. And tonight, if we want life, then we've got to build our lives around that, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Bible said, having our fruits under holiness, living in the fear of the Lord. I want you to stand with me tonight. These few things I felt like saying to you. Appreciate you coming to be with us tonight. And I apologize for the problems with the lights. This is one of those freak things that happen, and there's nothing that I can do about it or anybody else. We just have to pray and keep the devil run off. And every chance that he gets, he's going to cause us problems. I trust that you came here tonight for one reason. And that reason is to find Jesus. That reason is to find God. I trust that you came here tonight for none other reason than to find God. To be able to grow in the things of Jesus and to come into the fullness of the wonderful, wonderful Spirit of God. I trust that that's why you're here tonight. And I trust that from night to night as you come back to be with us, that this is the thing that'll be on your mind and on your heart. That you'll come to hear His Word. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. It's by faith in His Word that He saves us. The Bible said it's God's Word that spoke the world into existence. By His Word, He created all things. He upholds all things by His Word. It's the wonderful Word of God tonight
That's your treasure. That's the greatest thing, beloved friend, that you'll ever have. You know, we've got a book, a little book, a sermonette that they've taken from one of our messages. It's called The Time is Fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. As a matter of fact, this book went out all through India, all through Israel. It is called The Time is Fulfilled. Most people don't understand what is meant by the time being fulfilled. But it has a great, outstanding significance. And truthfully, tonight, the time is fulfilled. Maybe one night, if the Lord permits, we'll be able to speak just a little bit concerning the thing called the time fulfilled. Truthfully, the time is fulfilled. You're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. We're the people that's standing and looking at the closing of time. The end of the world is upon us. And we're the people that's facing this thing. And you know, this is the sad part about it. If we don't give our hearts and lives to God, then we're not going to be able to make the translation of what you refer to as the rapture. We're not going to be able to make it. If you don't do something more than you're doing as the church world, and I say this to all of the church world, for many people hear the things that we're saying over the radio, by TV, they get it by printed page and whatever around the different parts of the world. But I say this tonight, if we as the church, if we don't do differently from the way that we're doing, and if we don't press in more than we're pressing in, then that means that we're not going to make the translation. And do you know, if we don't make the translation, that means that we are going through the tribulation period. That means that you and I and all of us are going to have to go through the horrible tribulation period and be under the powers of the regime of Antichrist. And that means that you and I, unless some great thing happens, we're going to wind up taking the mark of the beast. We're going to be the people that's going to take the mark of the beast. And the Bible said that if you take the mark of the beast, that you have no rest day or night. Let's don't just lull ourselves together or to sleep a group together as one that don't believe in real Christianity. Let's just don't lull ourselves to sleep with some wild doctrine or idea of religion. But let's face the truth and face reality. There is a true and a living God. And this true and living God requires out of you and I a life of godliness and a life of righteousness. And if we don't honor, obey God, and conform to this way, beloved friend, we are not going to make it into the kingdom of God. We're not going to make it. You might be a fine person. You might be morally a kind person. You might be a gentle person. You might be a sweet person, so far as the world's concerned. You might be a good neighbor, but that will not take you into the kingdom of God. There is but one way to get into the kingdom of God, and that is by faith in God's word of being born again and translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And though you be ever such a fine person, you will go into the lake of fire unless you're born again. The Bible said we must repent or perish, and we must be born again. We must be born again. So then, if we're not born to the Spirit of God tonight, then we need to be born to the Spirit of God. While our brother Taylor is playing on the organ here tonight, I'd like to take just a few minutes with you. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this song, I Love Him. Let's sing this chorus, I Love Him. This is a chorus that we sing often. Truthfully tonight, if you really love Jesus, then you'll do the thing that He tells you to do. The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So let's sing it together, can we?
Oh, I love Him.
Can you sing it with me?
Oh, I love Him, all because He loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Can you sing it with me again now? Sing it with me.
Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. All because you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Now, while he's playing this on the organ tonight, I wonder if you could step out tonight, come down to the altar, and tonight, just step down here and say, Jesus, I love you. And I want to renew my covenant with you, and I want to renew my vows to you. And if you're already acquainted with the Lord, then just come and get a new strength, get a new refreshing doing this meeting, doing this revival. Come and get a new blessing from God, to get a new strength in God. If you haven't had this wonderful experience, then come and get this experience. Commit your whole soul and heart unto Christ. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And having made the commitment unto God, I ask you tonight to come and make that commitment even as I've made that commitment. I ask you tonight to come and make that commitment tonight even as I've made that commitment. One day I made that commitment to God. One day I made the commitment to God. I went along in life for a long time, and I didn't make that commitment. And one day I met God, and the Lord called my name, spoke to me, and I made that commitment. And I gave my life and I gave my heart to Christ Jesus. And I've never been sorry. I've never been sorry. I've been sorry for every time that I did anything without God. And for every day that I went without God, I was sorry. As I look back, I'm so sorry for every day, every time, every day of my life. I wish I had given it to God from the time that I knew and understood. And I'm sorry for every hour I ever spent doing anything else or going any other way. But oh, tonight as I feel the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, and I feel the mighty moving of the Spirit of God tonight, my heart is enlarged toward Christ, and my faith is moved in God tonight. And my bowels of compassion toward lost souls yearns as I travel around this great world and around the great earth, as I behold those that are lost and undone without God. I see those across the world, and my heart yearns to be able to help them and talk to them and tell them about Jesus. And as I said last night, there's hundreds of thousands of youth today that's coming to God. Hundreds of thousands of them. I had them in India to sit for hours and talk with me. College students and different ones would come and they'd say, Brother Pike, tell us more about this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, in services like this, you can't say much about the deep mysteries of God or the revelation of God. You can't say much about it. You just drop a little in here and there because you have to win souls. And people don't understand. Even the greatest of the church people, many of them have never gotten into the deep spiritual things of God. And oh, how they're being robbed. These things are so great and so wonderful. I see people running after the things of the world and going after the educational side. And that's fine. That's good. There's a lot of things out there. I'm acquainted with many of them. But I can tell you tonight, there is nothing to be compared with the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. Tonight, by His grace, as God has made me to know it, He has made me to understand the physical body, the functioning of the physical body, all the way through, all the way from your head down to your toe, the innermost functioning of your heart and the organic parts and what they do. And it's a thrill just to get into that and stay into that for days or weeks or months, to understand all of these wonderful things that medical science understands. But I can tell you that there's nothing to it in comparison to the wonderful mysteries of Jesus. To get into the wonderful revelation of God, into the wonderful great knowledge of God, the wonderful great understanding of God, all of the great medical science and the other things that seem to be so fascinating is as nothing compared to this wonderful knowledge of God and these wonderful things of Christ. Church folks, let me tell you, you that really love God, you've got the best side of life. The professional men of the world, they've got some great things. As I said, I've been privileged to be partakers of them. But I want you to know tonight, there's nothing to be compared with the sons and daughters of God as to what they've got. This wonderful knowledge of God, this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. If you ever get into the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or if you ever get into the knowledge of the wonderful revelation that Paul spoke about, you'll never have any yearning for the natural things of this life no more. It'll all be gone. It is so great and so marvelous until there is no way to have given oral expression of it. So I thank God tonight for His wonderful blessings. I thank God tonight for this wonderful opportunity. And while you're standing here before me, I'd like for you to just close your eyes for just a moment. Would you do that? All of you that have come down, I wish the others would come. There's others that I feel sure ought to come down here with us. You know, I would tonight that you come down here and stand with us as we talk about Jesus, as we pray together. You know, the human body is a wonderful thing. Did you know that? I know there's a lot of problems with the human body. David said, I'm wonderfully made. And if you've never studied human physics, you don't know that. But you can't imagine how wonderfully made you really are. And the human body is a great, marvelous thing. But the devil is devouring it. The devil is defiling the body. And God is going to have to destroy millions of people, millions of human beings that He shouldn't have to destroy. But because they won't yield to God, and they won't obey to God, they won't honor God, He's going to have to destroy that wonderful thing called a human being. Tonight, preserve your body. Paul said, I'd like to present you to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So tonight, let God preserve your body tonight. Don't let evil devour your body. Don't let sickness devour your body. Don't let cancer take your youth away from you and take your life away from you when you can do something for God and lay up treasures in heaven. Don't do that, but let's give our body to God. Let's give our heart to God. The body is the temple of the Lord. Let's glorify God with it. Let's be filled with the Spirit. The more of God's Spirit that you have in your body, the more health you'll have, the more happiness you'll have, the more soundness of mind that you'll have. The Bible says the Spirit of God will be upon you, make you have a quick understanding. You'll have a good understanding. You'll have health. You'll have strength. You'll have blessings, and you'll have prosperity. God will give you everything that you want. He won't withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before Him. No good thing. God will bless you with all the good things of life. I was just thinking tonight, the lights went off and I couldn't use my mic. This is a wireless mic. And I was thinking, under the tent and around the different parts of the world when we have meetings or crusades, it's so hard to preach over mics because you have all kinds of mics and they're terrible. But this particular mic here is the world's best. This mic, it doesn't look like it, but it's about $3,000 here in my hand right here, or more. And I was just thinking how that, as I was preaching along from time to time, I thought, Lord, these mics are so bad, I wished I had something that would help to preserve my throat a little bit. And it wasn't long. I heard about this mic, and I thought, well, that sure would be nice to have one. It wasn't long before I had one. God put it in my hands. See, He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's just one of the little things out of the many multiplied hundreds of thousands of dollars that God has turned our way in things that we needed for His work or wanted. So tonight, standing here before you, I ask you to lift your hands with me. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to talk with you tonight. I want to pray with you tonight. Folks, prayer makes a difference. Somebody would say, well, what good is it going to do, preacher, if you stand up there and you pray? What good is that? Soon this service will be over and I'll be going my way and it'll be just another meeting. No, that's not right, beloved friend. The Bible says concerning the true minister that whoever you bless will be blessed. And it says concerning the true minister, it says whoever you curse will be cursed. And whatever you bind on earth, God said, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. So then tonight, it's not at all the way perhaps you might think it is. It's not at all that way. I want you to know tonight that if I bless you in the name of the Lord, you will be blessed. You will be blessed because I love the Lord. I'm sincere with God. I've given my life to world evangelism and to the ministry. And tonight, I seek to bless you. I seek to do all that I can to help you find the blessings of the Lord. You know, over in the foreign country, they run up to me, I pray for the sick, or I preach a meeting, or even before I can get into the meeting sometimes, they're running all around me. They've come from many multiplied miles, travel hundreds of miles sometimes to get us to pray for them. And they'll run up and they'll say, Father, bless me. Oh, Father, bless me. Please, Father, bless me. And they'll grab me around the arms or the waist or anywhere that they can, crying out, oh, Father, bless me. They have been taught to do that. They've been taught to believe in that. And even though we have but one Father, even the Heavenly Father, yet Paul said, as fathers for children we lay up. That is, the parents shall lay up for the children. And as a father, I've begotten you in the gospel. And though you may have many instructors, yet you have but one Father. So it's not that wrong. But yet, you know, we only have one Heavenly Father. But they don't know. All they understand is that the man of God is supposed to be able to bless them. And they'll run up and they'll say, Father, bless me. Please bless me. And they'll beg and you try to get away and you just feel so torn up. You don't know what to do because they're just pouring their heart out pleading with you. You know, and then you come to America and you realize that many hundreds and thousands of church people have never come to the realization that the man of God has the power to bless them or to curse them. And it's very sad. It's very sad. You know, you can't even grieve the minister unless something happens to you. The Bible said it's not even profitable for you to grieve the minister. If he's a real true minister, you can't even grieve him. If you grieve him by misbehavior in the church or in his presence or do something contrary, then you're in for great problems. So then tonight, as I pray for you, I want you to believe with me. I want to pray for your healing tonight, and I want you to believe with me because I believe God will heal you. I believe God will bless you. I believe that God will bless you. They still don't have the ramp here just exactly like it goes. There's still some more to be put up. But anyway, they've got enough to where we can kind of talk with you a little bit. And tonight, if you want to come over closer, right here, closer tonight, we'll be glad to lay hands on some of you and pray for you. I felt the anointing in a great way last night. I didn't lay hands on anybody that I can remember. I just prayed and asked God to bless. And tonight I don't feel the looseness of the Spirit like I did last night in the sense of the flowing of the anointing, but I still feel a good spirit, a good attentive spirit here tonight of listening and paying attention. And I still feel a concern here tonight. And I'm going to pray for some of them because I said last night that I would do that. And I want you tonight, while our brother Taylor is just playing a little bit here on the organ to keep our attention, I want you to meditate. Meditate in the things of God. I want you to get your mind right on the Lord. And the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. And tonight, I want to lay hands on you. I want to pray for you. And if you've done wrong, then I believe God will forgive you. I believe God will help you. If you'll be sincere tonight, I believe that God will bless you. And I believe that God will help you. Now, in many of our meetings, we have numbers of ministers that come out, and usually I have them to pray with me when we're praying for the sick. I have them to minister to the sick with me as I pray for them, and I have men of faith that come out to be with us. But tonight, I'd like for you to just lift your hands up with me And if you are a minister tonight, if you want to come and pray with me and pray for the people, I'll tarry just a moment. And I welcome you to come up here and pray with me, because the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if you've got faith in God, then I'd like for you to come and pray with me. Let's pray and believe God together, can we? Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I feel your love, I ask for your forgiveness of sins. I ask you to forgive me my sins, my heavenly Father, knowing that there is none good but Christ. And all the blessings of God is in your beloved Son and in his name. Now I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to break the yoke tonight. Father, break the yoke off of this individual tonight. May your great, wonderful Spirit come down from out of heaven tonight. Father, to heal, to save, and forgive. May the power of God be present here tonight to heal, my Father. The forgiveness, oh Lord, in the name of your darling Son tonight. As we lay hands upon these little ones, I pray for the touch of your great Spirit. Lord, heal tonight. Dear God, knowing that there's wrecks along the highway, and Father, knowing that there's trouble along the highway, knowing that there's the threat of diseases, and oh God of insanity, Father of poverty and everything that is in the world today, I ask you to protect these people from it. I ask you to hear my prayer tonight to heal and to save and to bless, oh God. Father, may your great Spirit look down upon us, and may it come, oh God, and be with us in these meetings. I feel faith. Father, I feel your healing right now. Lord, you told me that you're going to heal in these meetings. For I feel faith, dear God. I feel faith in the hearts of these people as I pray, heal tonight. And oh God, make well tonight. May your Spirit come down, my Father, and heal in a great way tonight. May every yoke be broken tonight, oh God, as we pray. May the yokes be broken. May these young girls be blessed. May a great spiritual light arise in their hearts, oh God. May the anointing of the Lord be upon them. The power of the Holy Ghost be here tonight. Heal and save and forgive. Mighty God of heaven, help us to lift our heads up to heaven tonight. Oh God, may you save and may you forgive. God, may thy Spirit be here to reveal the hidden things of the heart. And oh God, may your blessings be here. Break the yoke right now. Lift up faith. Oh Lord, for thy sins thou sayest are forgiven. And oh God, we believe it tonight through the blood of the Son of God. Lord, heal tonight. Heal this person. Save this person. Forgive. Lord, I'm expecting you to heal cancer in this meeting, Father. You said you'd heal, and I'm expecting you to heal cancer. Lord, break the yoke from off of this boy tonight. May the yoke be broken. May the power of God come into this life. May sin be forgiven tonight. And Lord God, let this heart be turned tender as it one time was. God, to be tender and to be concerned, oh God, about heavenly things. Father, heal, break the yoke in Jesus' name. Father, touch this person tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon this young man tonight. May the blessings of the Lord be here tonight, Jesus. By the righteousness of the Son of God, through your strength, God, bless and heal. Father, touch this mother tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon her. May the blessings of the Lord be here. In the name of the Lord, may the great Holy Spirit be poured out upon us. Ooh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, may faith be stirred, my Father. Oh, by the righteousness of the Son of God, granted in your lovely name tonight, Jesus. May your Spirit be here tonight, and may you heal, oh God. As I look away to Calvary tonight, as I see the wonderful throne of God, Lord, as the blood nail hands, those hands dripping with blood, Lord, those nails, Father, that pierced the hands, God, as I look in that direction tonight to see those nail-pierced hands, I ask that that blood that come down Calvary be an atonement for my sins tonight. May it be atonement for the sins of this person tonight. May the yoke be broken. Oh God, I ask you to restore. I call upon you tonight for the purging and the purification of the heart. And once again, oh God, may the river of life flow through this heart. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may the inspiration of God be here tonight to touch these people. May thy great, wonderful inspiration be here, God. May in the Carolinas there be a refreshing. May there be a revival. May there be a moving of the Spirit. And may every individual know that you love them. May something happen tonight. Touch this woman tonight. May the troubling spirit leave her. May there be peace and may there be rest. Hear from heaven, oh God, and heal tonight. I ask you to touch this brother tonight. May the great, wonderful anointing of God come upon him. May the wisdom of the Lord be here tonight. The name of Jesus, may thy blessings, Father, guide him in all that he does. Touch this mother tonight. Oh God, the refreshing that you recently gave up, may it be great, may it be mighty, and oh God, may it grow, I pray thee. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the wonderful name of Jesus provide tonight that for the heart, for the soul, to heal tonight, to forgive tonight. Break every yoke, Jesus. Hear from heaven and heal the lands in Jesus' name. Touch this sister. I pray thee in the name of the Lord tonight that you touch her. Touch her and heal and save and forgive. Touch these little ones in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. May the blessings of God be upon them tonight. I ask you to touch Robin tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of the Lord be here. May the blessings of God be upon this mother. Oh God, that great, wonderful nail-scarred hands. Oh Lord, that I feel, oh God, upon my shoulder tonight. I pray for the blessings of the Lord. I pray for the strength of the Lord. I pray for thy guidance. May your Spirit be upon these people. And dear God, I feel you healing tonight. I want you to heal tonight in the name of Jesus. I want you to bless tonight. May your Spirit be upon this person tonight. May there be healing, Father. Whatever the trouble is, whatever the problems are of these hearts, I pray that it'll be revealed, and I pray that you'd heal tonight. Dear God, I ask for your blessings. Let your great Spirit be here. Let that wonderful river of life that's flowing come down. Grant that tonight, Father, that your healing be here tonight. Grant it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Touch this brother tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch this brother tonight, oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you to do it, my Father. Touch these people tonight. Let your Spirit be upon them. Touch them in the name of Jesus, my Father, and heal and forgive tonight. May your blessings be upon them. May your Spirit heal them tonight. May you forgive them in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Father, touch this sister tonight. May your Spirit be upon her. May the deliverance of God be here. I feel her faith already, Father. May she look unto thee tonight to heal her, Father, to forgive her. Oh God, may the river of life flow through this being tonight in a wonderful way. I ask you to grant it in Jesus' name. Let's sing a little chorus before we pray for these others, and let's worship God for just a minute. You know, I feel the presence of God here, but it would be so wonderful tonight if we could just let our faith go out to God. My, how God would love to work tonight. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we?
Only believe.
Can you sing it with me tonight?
Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Only believe.
Now sing with me like this.
Oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive, for all things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Can you continue to sing it?
Only believe.
Father, as we sing this song tonight, may our hearts be enriched. And may we believe tonight, Jesus, I ask you to heal. I ask you to save. I ask you to honor this great faith within the sister's heart tonight. Father, to inspire in Jesus' name, touch this sister tonight. May she be inspired with the wonderful new blessings of God in her life. Father, may there be a stirring. May there be a move of the Spirit. May something take place. May a great and a wonderful thing take place in these hearts, Father, as I pray for these people. I ask you to do something special tonight as they believe, oh God, as they trust in you. May something happen in their hearts tonight. Father, touch them with your great Spirit, Father. Touch them with your great power. Let the blessings of God be upon these people tonight. I ask you to do it in the wonderful name. Can you sing it again? Oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, Father, heal the sister tonight. Forgive the sins, Lord, of this life. Bless in this life. May your Spirit, may your blessings be here tonight. Father, may people be enriched tonight. Bless Sister Pixie tonight, Father. May the glory of God come into her life, into her heart. May there be a new moving of the Spirit and a new illumination like she's never known before. Father, in this great, wonderful moving of God that I feel today, grant this blessings tonight, Father. May this sister, Lord, receive a blessing in her heart tonight. May she be healed and may she be blessed of God in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch this sister tonight. Father, may her body be blessed. May her spirit be touched tonight. May healing come into her life. May there be a new inspiration, Father, for world evangelism. Touch Don tonight. May the great power of God come upon this person tonight. Father, to heal and forgive tonight, to bless, to deliver. Oh God, touch this life, touch this home. Let something great and mighty come out of this life in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord tonight? You know, God is a spirit. The Bible teaches that God inhabits the praise of his people, and we need to praise God tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may there be a healing tonight. May there be a deliverance tonight. May the great Spirit of God heal tonight. May it move through these lives. Father, may you hear from heaven and break the yoke. And Father, may our vision tonight be for Christ and for the wonderful things of God. Let the vision be in our heart. Renew a vision, Father, in this person's heart here. I feel that you're trying to do something special in this life right here. And oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight, may the person turn to you with all of their heart and life in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Let's sing this little chorus tonight, can we? Oh, let's enter these gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Oh, let's enter these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, for he hath made us glad. Sing it with me, folks. Let's enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Oh, let's enter these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, for he hath made us glad. But oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, cause Jesus made us glad. One more time. We're gonna enter God's grace with thanksgiving
in the heart, and we're gonna enter these courts with praise. And we're gonna say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to touch this body. Heal this body tonight. Take away the soreness. God, heal this body. Give strength in this body. Make this body well. Move the infection of this body. Oh, God, for your healing, for your blessing, for your glory, grant it in this life and in the life of these people, for this family, to heal, God, to deliver, to save, to forgive. In the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, grant it, Father. He hath made us glad. Let's sing it again. I'm gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter God's courts with praise. I'm gonna say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. And oh, he hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. You know, tonight, if you're really glad in your heart, if you've really got something in your heart, if you've really got salvation in your heart, if you've really been talking to God tonight, you can rejoice. Did you know that? When you sing these songs of Zion, you can rejoice and something good will come out of your life. But if you don't have that in your heart, you can't rejoice, because you know that down in your heart that you are not glad. And you know that down in your heart you haven't been true to God. And you know that you haven't made the sacrifice to do his will and walk close to Christ. So that wonderful joy of Christian living is not there. But serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. All of the paths of God are peace. So tonight, as I sing this, I want you to sing it with me. Will you do that? You that are standing out or sitting out there, will you stand up with me, please? And let's sing this song together. If you got joy in your heart tonight, let's just make that joy come out tonight in praising God, for God, who is a spirit, inhabits the praise of his people. So let's sing it all together tonight, can we? I'm gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter these courts with praise. I'm gonna say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. No, he hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Let's lift our hand one more time and love him tonight. Tonight we've tried our best to minister the word of God to you and tell you about the wonderful words of life. This is the word that can save you. This is the word that can deliver you. This is the word that can make you joyful and make you happy. This is the word that can bring a great revival to this area right here and cause people to be filled with the joy and the jubilance of Christ. This is the wonderful, wonderful will of God tonight, that we hear his word and abound in his word. I'm going to ask you to, let's just praise God tonight. Ask Brother Denny to come up here. Brother Denny from over in Tennessee, he's here with us tonight. I think he's fixing to go to California. But I want him to come up here tonight, and I'm going to get him to dismiss the people. But before I do, I want you to sing with me again now. I want to pray with you first. I want you to lift your hands up. And I want to pray a prayer tonight, just before we sing this last chorus. I want to pray a prayer, and I want to ask God to do something for you tonight.
I would ask God to do something for you. Some of you I didn't pray for tonight because you wasn't up here where I could lay hands on you. But I want you to lift your hands up with me tonight. And I want you to love the Lord. And as I pray for you tonight, I want you to believe God. And God will do something for you. I promise you in the name of Jesus tonight that if you lift your hands and hearts up to God, that you'll come back to this meeting and you'll testify that God healed you. I promise you that God will do it. God is healing in these services already, and God's moving by His Spirit already. And there's going to be people healed. And I believe that in these services that people are going to be healed of cancer. I believe that I'll get the report that God healed cancer in this meeting right here. I believe God's going to do it. I've already felt Him doing it just since we've been here in the last 2 or 3 days. So I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes and let's worship God tonight. I want you to pray with me tonight. As Brother Denny also prays with us. I want you to pray with me tonight just before he dismisses the service. And let's worship God for just a moment. Can you do that? Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus, I stand here with my hands stretched out over the audience tonight. And you said whoever I bless would be blessed. And dear God, you said if I went into a city and if they received the gospel, Father, or if they received me in that city, to heal the sick. And oh God, to bless those people. Now Father, these people are receiving the gospel. And these people, though some of them are not acquainted with me, Father, yet they're listening very careful to try to find the truth, to see if I'm speaking the truth. And dear God, they're very carefully and very courteously, very godly, Father, listening with deep intent to know what's right and what's wrong and whether I'm speaking the right thing. And oh Father, you know my heart. And you know the reason and purpose that thou hast sent me here. Now, God, I ask you to stretch your hands out over this audience tonight. I've got my hands stretched out over the audience, Father. And I'm asking you to stretch your hands out over the audience. And I want you to heal tonight, Father. I want you to heal. I want that rain of healing to come down. I want that divine healing that flows right out of the kingdom of God, right down from heaven. I want it to come down and I want it to heal tonight. Father, there's many people here that needs healing for their body. There's all kind of things here tonight, Father. Lord, in afflictions of these bodies. I want them healed tonight. I want you to heal these bodies. I want you to heal cancer. I want a report. I want a good report, Father, by faith. Lord, that cancer has been healed. I want these people delivered from their sins. I want a revival, oh God, through this area. Father, to break out. I want these people to go away rejoicing, being filled with the glory of God. May thy blessings, may thy love, may thy glory come down from heaven. I ask it in the wonderful name of your lovely child Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want you to sing another chorus with me before Denny dismisses you tonight. This little chorus we sang last night, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Can you sing it with me now? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He's the lily of the valley, and He's the bright and morning star, and He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing them again. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He's the lily of my valley, and He's the bright and morning star, and He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. One more time, lift your hands up and close your eyes. Tonight, do you know who Jesus is? Do you really know who Jesus is tonight? Do you know that He's the great, wonderful God of heaven and of earth, the Creator? The Bible said, by Him all things were made, and for His pleasure were they created, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And the Bible teaches But it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is salvation in none other name. In the name of the Son of God that spilt His blood for you. That great, wonderful name tonight holds salvation. And we're living in an hour when the Bible teaches that we're to call upon the name of Jesus. So tonight, as you call upon the name of Jesus, God will do something for you tonight. As I ask our brother to pray while your hands are lifted, your eyes are closed, as I ask our brother tonight to pray for you, I want you to take a hold of the horns of the altar tonight. And I want you to believe God tonight for healing and for salvation and for deliverance. And I want you to find a path of peace, to ask God to catch your mind, to captivate your attention, to help you begin to meditate in the wonderful things of God day and night. I'm asking you to do it tonight. Will you lift your hands up with me? Will you close your eyes tonight? Will you do that tonight? Lift your hands up, close your eyes.